Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson, coming to you from my basement out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. We homeschool our children out here during the demise of Western civilization, the breakdown of faith, family, and freedom. Thankfully, some nations are improving. The discipleship of the nations in places like Africa are improving at the same time that things in the Western world are going worse. Why? Because the Western world's turning towards abortion and infanticide, while the other nations around the world, some of the more pagan nations around the world, are turning away from human sacrifice, infanticide, abortion, homosexuality, and the sorts of things that characterize pagan nations. Apostate nations sometimes can be worse than pagan nations, and we certainly are seeing this worldwide. But here we are fighting for a little faith, family, and freedom in the Western world, and I sit on the very, very pioneering edge of the Western world on the Eastern Plains of Colorado, trying to fight back a pro-life position. I served as the pro-life governor candidate for the state of Colorado back in 1994, ran against two pro-abortion candidates, and I still take a strong pro-life position. And good news for those of you who have been fighting this good fight for a long time, abortion rates in the United States are at their lowest level in 40 years, according to this new report from the Guttmacher Institute. I'm reading from a CNN article here. In 2011, the U.S. abortion rate was 16.9 abortions per every 1,000 women aged 15 to 44, the lowest it's been since abortion was legalized in 1973. There are a number of reasons for that. According to this article, the decline in abortions coincide with a steep national drop in overall pregnancy and birth rates. Rachel Jones, lead author of the study, said in a statement, contraceptive use improved during this period, ergo the use of RU486, Plan B, and abort-efficient birth control pills improved during this period, per Rachel Jones from the Guttmacher Institute. Moreover, the recent recession led many women and couples to want to avoid or delay pregnancy and childbearing. Total number of abortion providers declined 4% between 2008 and 2011. That's good news. The number of clinics declined 1% nationwide, with much higher rates of decline in Arkansas, Idaho, Kansas, Oklahoma, and Vermont, which each lost one clinic. We're seeing a decentralizing effect across the nation, some states doing better than others. Colorado did awful over the last 2 years of legislative efforts. Texas did better. There will be some states better than others because there are some states that are perhaps better discipled than others by their churches in the respective states, assuming that churches still preach the word of God and call the nations to repentance based upon the laws of God as the definition of sin. An estimated 239,400 early medication abortions were performed in 2011, 20% more than in 2008. The vast majority, 98%, were done using RU486. Well, here's my question. Are Americans more pro-life today? Are they more self-sacrificing? Are they less narcissistic, less materialistic than they were in the 1990s? I doubt it. It's hard for me to believe that when I read the front page of Time magazine a couple of weeks ago about the millennial generation being the me generation. Well, we do have the lowest abortion rate since 1973. I assume that means just the surgical abortions. And that is the good news. Surgical abortions down to the lowest level since 1973. And it is true, the pro-life restrictions have helped a bit. According to one study, one story I read online, there have been a few of the pro-life restrictions that have worked, but almost none of them have reduced the abortion rate. I ran for governor in 1994, as I said, on the pro-life plank, and there weren't very many pro-life legislators then. It seems to me the battle is waging, and the good guys are back in the battle since the early 1990s, and that is the good news. However, friends, why are abortions down? Is it because there is a sweeping reformation across the United States? I have a hard time believing that. Homosexuality rates are up, and homosexuals don't get pregnant, so that may have something of an impact upon these numbers. We've exceeded the years of sexual decadence. There comes a point at which a society is so decadent, it can hardly get more decadent, and we move more towards sexual burnout. And I think that's what's happening now. We are running through the years of sexual burnout and reproductive burnout. Reminds me of the Japanese survey that came out last year. 45% of Japanese women and 25% of Japanese men ages 16 to 24 are, quote, not interested in or despise sexual contact. Okay, so it could be, it could very well be that the same thing is happening here in America right now. And do remember that the surgical abortions are down, but Americans are turning towards the cleaner way that salves the conscience and doesn't involve those messy, bloody abortion clinics. They're using the Plan B pills, the abortifacients, and the RU486 pill is up 20%. The Planned Parenthood organization does seem to indicate that they provide five times the number of Plan B pills than they do surgical abortions. So if there are that many more Plan B pills used for women who are just newly pregnant, then there could be as many as five times more abortions happening, but it's just that we don't know that they're happening. So it's hard to believe that we've improved things that much since 1973. We have better ways to abort children today than we did back in 1973. Well, and 1.2 million abortions per year is still way too many babies. And friends, as you know, as you've heard on this program before, I'm concerned about all of the developed nations around the world that are giving way to abortion. Hey, and by the way, February is Black Genocide Month. Planned Parenthood, as you know, puts those clinics in low-income neighborhoods on purpose in order to murder as many African-American babies as possible. This from lifeactionnews.org. According to an article in the Daily Caller, African-American teenagers have an abortion rate of over double the national average. Black teenagers have an abortion rate of 41 per 1,000. It's still problematic. It's very problematic. The national average is 18 per 1,000, as I just mentioned. White teens have an abortion rate of 10 per 1,000. So apparently there are four times more African-American babies murdered than white babies. And I find that problematic. I hope that there are others out there who have an issue with that too. I mean, do you have an issue with the fact that four times more African-American babies are murdered than white babies? I mean, I find that bothersome. Not because any of us should be racist, but because all of us should be concerned about the murder of innocent children, including those who belong to African-Americans. By the way, the situation is even more grim in New York. 67% of African-American teenagers' pregnancies end in abortion in that state. 67%. What is that? Seven times the national average for whites? That to me is unconscionable. That is still a black genocide of some sort. That is an abortion holocaust happening in New York City. Proverbs 24:11 says, "Rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, 'Behold, we did not know this,' does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who keeps watch over your soul know it? And will he not repay man according to his work?" All right, what does that say? But that those of us who are Christians, those of us who have a concern for the things that concern God, ought to be involved in this conflict at some level. Now, I'm not saying everybody needs to be running for governor of Colorado. I'm not saying that everybody needs to be engaged at the same level, but I believe that anybody who claims the name of Christ should have a vital interest in protecting human life. And those pastors out there that are discouraging involvement in the political state of things because we're losing, or because Christians just don't have enough influence, or Christians don't have the kind of influence that we would hope to have, are discouraging people from obeying Proverbs 24:11-12. And that, my friends, again, unconscionable that there are pastors out that would discourage Christians from engaging the pro-life position and discouraging their fellow citizens, whether by holding up signs at abortion clinics or voting pro-life in elections. If they should discourage Christians from doing that, they have no right. They have no position being pastors in the Church of Jesus Christ. Okay, I'm going to be back in just a moment to talk about a severe drought happening in the United States. Could that have something to do with America's position on things like abortion and homosexuality? I wonder. I'll be back in just a moment. This is Kevin Swartz.
I'm Abigail, and I want to tell you about a fun contest that Daddy is doing with Generations. It's picture books for little kids. It'd be so nice to see more cute picture books for children, little children ages 2 through 8. We need more fun picture books for little ones that are based on biblical principles. So this is called the Nurture Little Hearts Book Contest. Daddy says he will give a $2,000 prize and 10% royalties to the winner of the contest. All submissions must come in by July 31st. Check out my daddy's blog at generationswithvision.com for more information about this contest.
All right, we are back on the Generations broadcast. Good to have you tuned in with us today as we cover the news across the nation. God has brought a severe drought to California. If you haven't heard, it is a severe drought, threatening the state's drinking water supply. 17 rural communities are already providing water to 40,000 people in danger of running out within 60 to 120 days. State reservoir levels are lower in California than they were at this time in 1977, the last time the state endured a drought this severe. It's the Los Angeles Times article on this. Officials Friday said that for the first time ever, the state water project that helps supply a majority of Californians may be unable to make any deliveries except to maintain public health and safety. They also said they were cutting releases from large reservoirs in the northern part of the state to preserve supplies in the face of what could be the worst drought in modern California history. It's about holding back water, so we've got it tomorrow, said Chuck Bonham, director of the Department of Fish and Wildlife. The zero allocation for the state water project is the first in the sprawling system's 54-year history. All right, so friends, we have worst drought in California history, and ironically, California also happens to be the worst state in the union, at least according to a number of indices. And here's an article I found online, 55 reasons why California is the worst state in the union, most of which are economic reasons based in the violation of the Eighth Commandment. That is, the state does everything that it can think of to violate individual liberties and to redistribute wealth and to violate the Eighth Commandment, which assumes private property when it says thou shalt not steal. One survey of business executives has ranked California as the worst state in America to do business in for 8 years in a row. 2011, the state of California ranked 50th out of all 50 states in new business creation. According to one recent study, California is the worst governed state in the entire nation. Thanks to Proposition 30, California now boasts the highest state income tax in the nation. Even though California just raised taxes dramatically on the wealthy, state revenues are falling like a rock. State revenue for November of 2012 was 10.8% below projections. California has the highest sales tax rate in the United States. California has the eighth highest corporate income tax in the country. California has the highest minimum corporate tax in the country. California is tied with New York for the highest gasoline tax rate in the country. California is the only state in America that taxes carbon emissions. The state of California issues some of the most expensive traffic tickets in the nation. This is another form of tax. And on and on it goes. 55 reasons why California is the worst state in the union. Remember, just this year, January 1, the California state legislature initiated the bathroom bill for transvestites in public schools, encouraging homosexuality and transvestism. I don't think there is another state in the country that encourages homosexuality and transvestism in the public schools as California has. I've lost count of the number of bills encouraging the sin or the crime of homosexuality in public high schools and public grade schools across the state of California. I mean, at what point are people going to say, you know what, I really don't want my children involved in abominable sexual behavior? It's not going to happen in California. I mean, for the most part, you're not going to see Californians coming out from the public schools because of this this kind of thing happening. And remember, Prop 8 did pass, but then it was promptly tossed out by the judicials. So, okay, California, the worst state in America as far as I'm concerned. Okay, it's maybe just about as bad as Colorado. And Colorado had the worst legislature last year, and coincidentally, the worst floods and the worst fires. We pointed that out, much to the chagrin of those who don't believe in God. And we said, I wonder if God's involved. I wonder if God's engaged. I have to believe that God is the source. God is in control of what's happening with fires, floods, and droughts. And if you happen to be in a state that makes up for the absolute worst state as measured by the ethical standards of God's laws, and it happens to be visited by the worst floods, worst fires, and worst droughts in the nation's history or the state's history, I would say there may be a connection there. There may be a connection. Now, we're not saying there's a one-to-one for any given sin, but we do know that all of God's acts are judgment. He intends everything he does, and he never does anything but according to his standards of justice. And if all of his acts are justice or judgment, then he is judging the state of California right now as he judged the state of Colorado last year with the worst flood and the worst fire in Colorado's history. Again, assuming that God is in control of everything. As against the public schools, we don't believe that the weather patterns are ordained by the National Weather Service or even by the Barack Obama administration, friends. And I know that the media and the government schools out there truly believe that Benjamin Franklin was stupid, acknowledging God's sovereignty over all things, including the fall of a sparrow and the rise of an empire at the Constitutional Convention. Yes. Benjamin Franklin, a deist, believed in absolute sovereignty of God over every sparrow and every nation that rises and falls. But it's just hard for me to get evangelicals to believe that in the present day because we are so beyond the fear of God as the beginning of wisdom and knowledge in our churches, let alone our schools these days. So Colorado, California, having similar problems. It is possible that Colorado's having similar problems because California moved here. I've had a lot of Californians move here over the 20 to 30 years that the California economy has been in the toilet, and the employment problem in California has gone downhill. So we're certainly seeing something similar happening here in Colorado, at least when it comes to our legislature and those who will vote for the liberals, put the liberals in office, and be sure that the liberals do everything they can to violate God's standards of righteousness and take away guns and narrow liberty on those who are God-fearing, innocent citizens. Okay, so let me ask you this. Before we go to the phone lines, I want to go to the phone lines in just a moment. We've got a call coming in here from Lance from Bakersfield. But before we go there, what do we want to call these droughts? These droughts, but anthropogenic droughts, and that take that off of the anthropogenic global warming that is talked about by those who believe that global warming is human caused. There's a slight difference, though, between my reference to anthropogenic drought and the other side, the left's reference to anthropogenic global warming, because anthropogenic global warming is when man is sovereign over his environment, man controls his environment, and directly by cause and effect relationship, he is able to control what happens. So according to anthropogenic global warming, man is sovereign over his environment and man sins against the earth. But we say that God is sovereign and we are the ones who sin against God. He brings about the droughts. Now, it's not a one-to-one, as I said. You can't say that these particular sins merited these particular judgments. But we do say that God judges nations when they are disobedient to him, because we find that pattern all the way through the Old and the New Testaments. God is sovereign. God brings the floods. But there is a sense in which these droughts are anthropogenic only because man causes them if man violates God's laws and God in his judgment determines to bring those droughts to earth. Okay, should the last 10 Christians leave California, or does the salt preserve the society from total destruction? All right, let's go to the phone lines now and take a call from Lance from Bakersfield. Hi, Lance. How you doing today?
I'm doing well, Kevin. How are you doing, sir?
Good. It's snowing like crazy out here. We probably got 7-8 inches of snow outside. My guess is that's not what's happening in Bakersfield.
That's a good point. Actually, in the Sierra Nevadas, we have 12% of the snowpack that we would have on a normal year. They're already telling farmers out here in California, you get maybe 5% of the water that you had last year. They're telling homeowners out here that use 20% of the water that you normally use. And people are backing way, way back from water. They're saying it's the worst drought in California in 500 years, according to a Berkeley University professor, Lynn Ingram. He says that. In fact, what's amazing is I was up in Santa Paula area, and there was a farmer there working his avocados. He said, I cannot believe it. This is the first year I'm watering my trees all year long. I have no rain. There is no rain.
Now, you're in the agriculture business yourself. I'm sure this is affecting the farmers big time.
Yes. In fact, I'm talking to beekeepers, and part of our profession is beekeeping. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the beekeepers are going to try to run out of state. We'll try to stay around here and look for different places, but it is definitely very difficult. Mm-hmm. And what's amazing, Obama, of all things, contacted our governor and said, he was just checking last week. He checked in and said, hey, are you guys getting any rain? They say there's going to be a little bit of rain coming down in a few days. I would say less so far this year. We've had maybe half an inch and maybe less than that. One farmer who runs 10,000 acres, he manages almonds. We supply over 1,000 beehives for him. He said the worst crisis or the worst thing on his mind right now is water. Mm. They're drilling wells deeper. In fact, last year our well dropped down, and so we had to drop it 50 gallons. And if it drops down again, we dropped it 50 feet. If it drops down again, we're going to have to drill a new well just for our 10 acres right here in Pickfleet. And then you go to it's amazing. But what is amazing is as you look through all these articles and you see things like, you know, U.S. Agricultural Secretary said in an interview with an agency, what is the thing we need to do? Oh, we need to start investigating climate change.
Yeah.
So there's no
right.
go back to the fear of God
right.
and repent of our sins.
Right.
None of the articles that I've right. been reading through.
They somehow assume that if man just pushes the right buttons, he can control the outcome of the weather patterns. And just maybe
yeah,
there's something Barack Obama and the U.S. Congress can do. They just pass a law and restrict, you know, more farmers and more industrialists from doing this, that, or the other thing. Maybe we can bring the rain. And maybe we
That's
can
right.
melt
exactly.
the polar caps, or I don't know, maybe we don't want to melt the polar caps. But whatever the case is, man wants to be in control of this. He doesn't think for a moment that God is in control, does he? No recognition of God whatsoever anymore in any of the media sources. I can remember, you know, 15, 20 years ago, there'd still be some recognition of God, some idea of maybe we should pray for God's blessing mm-hmm. upon our nation. I can remember presidents saying that kind of thing. 10, right. 15 years ago, they don't say that at all. I think America has become an atheist nation.
That is totally true. Our California or U.S. Agricultural Secretary said in an interview that what we need to do is not only going to go after climate change. This is a serious. If we don't do this research, if we don't have the financial assistance, if we don't have the conservation resources, there is very little that we can do to help our farmers. So what's the idea? More government intervention, more subsidies for the food, for the agriculture. But there is no repentance. There's no, if we fear God and repent of our sins, there's no, Isaiah, as you called, I was reading Isaiah 45, and 45 says this, there is no God besides me. I will gird you, though you have not known me, that they may know me from the rising of the sun to its setting. There is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form light, and I create darkness, and make peace, and create calamity.
Yeah.
I, the Lord, do all these things. Mm. Rain down, you heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Mm. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let your righteousness spring up. I, the Lord, have created it. So here's the Lord, and he is totally, it's like the humanists say, and it was amazing. I was up in got up one morning, we were listening to some news in one of the motels in Southern California, and they said, the one thing we can't control in this world is rain. It's the last thing we can't control.
Well, they want to fix that if they can. You know, I've got another passage that just came to my mind, Job 37, by the breath of God, ice is given. Broad waters are frozen fast. Well, that sounds like global cooling to me. By the breath of God, ice is given, and the broad waters are frozen fast. Apparently, God freezes the icebergs, not Al Gore. He loads Amen. The thick cloud with moisture. The clouds scatter his lightning. Hey, California, he loads the thick cloud with moisture. They turn around and around by his guidance to accomplish all that he commands them on the face of the habitable world. Well, that was just Job. What does he know?
Absolutely, yeah.
The wisdom wow. literature from the Word of God. I'm going to go with that. I'm just going to go. Hey, one last thing. California is important. I mean, the California economy is the eighth largest in the world. And I'm sure
that
it's going
exactly
to have an impact
right.
on the national economy as well. What percent of the nation's agriculture is found in California? You have any
that
idea?
That is excellent. I was just looking at these stats. Check out these. We have 80% of the world almond production right here in our valley in California. We have 86% of the almonds, lemons grown in the United States right here in this valley. 1/4 of oranges, 90% of avocados for the United States are in this valley. And a lot of that gets sent all over the world. Mm-hmm. 88% of strawberries, 84% of peaches, 97% of plums, and the stats are amazing. 99% of artichokes are grown here in California.
Incredible.
44% of asparagus, a fifth of cabbage, 2/3 of carrots, half of bell peppers, 89% of cauliflower, 94% of broccoli, and the list goes on and
incredible.
On.
Incredible. These are our staples. These are our staples. Man, what's going to happen to the national economy if the fruits, nuts, and vegetables out of California meet this severe, severe drought that comes from the hand of God? Again, friends, the worst state, the worst drought in California's history. And we're calling California the worst state right now. Lance, I hope that doesn't offend you. I know you live there. We're also encouraging you not to leave, okay? Because we don't want the last 10 righteous people leaving the state of California. Who knows what would happen then? Maybe the big earthquake. So we don't want that to happen.
We love this state. It's a state of, you know, we get, you know, 80-degree weather. And when people have, you know, in the teens, especially in Southern California, right, typically in our valley right now, it's about 70 degrees outside. It's a little cooler than that today. We're right now in the middle of moving all the almonds. There's something like 4 million hives. At least 3.5 of those are brought from all over the United States to the state of California to pollinate the largest almond production in the world. And that is California.
Wow.
And it's a $15 billion crop. It's humongous in this state.
Wow.
And the production is huge.
And don't forget,
we're right in the middle. In fact, just this morning, we unloaded 400 hives in almond orchards. And they're just about ready to start blooming.
And don't forget the honey. We need the honey, too, out of the state of California. I know you're in the honey business. We appreciate what you do down there. And let's pray God's mercy upon the state of California. Hopefully, there'll be churches across the state of California appealing to God, who is the sovereign Lord of the heavens and the earth, for his mercy upon the state, and maybe even a day of repentance in a public place, whether it be in the church, the state capitals, or the city halls. Perhaps there could be something of an outpouring of prayers to God in the state of California. I'd say at this point, take advantage of it, Lance.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, crisis is the incubator of opportunity.
Yeah.
And if we use this opportunity to disciple people, to take them back to the law of God, dust off the Bible, and say the Bible's relevant. Mm-hmm. You know, the Bible is not this whole idea that 90% of it is relegated to the past, but we can look at it and go through Deuteronomy 28 and find out that a nation that God blesses, people that come against it scatter seven ways. And when God is judging a nation, the people of God scatter seven ways. And if we really do honor the Lord, he says, I will bless the fruit of your womb. I will bless the fruit of your basket. I will bless, you know, bless the flocks and your herds and all these different things if you obey my voice. But if you don't, judgment comes. And what's amazing is we live in a land today that today they'll say, okay, this is, I was talking to a brother the other day, and he said, this is a sign of the end times. This is not, and what's amazing is 200 years ago, they weren't talking about, you know, seven reasons why the end of the world is in your lifetime. They were talking about we need to repent of our sins and turn to God.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting how instead of turning back to the covenant-keeping God with the sanctions of his law, we go to this idea of the idea that, well, we're just living at the end of history and there's nothing we can do about it. And so rather than the consequences being our responsibility, we just say, well, that's just reality.
Yeah. And God's in the heavens. He's still paying attention to nations. If God went after Tyre and Sidon and Sodom and Gomorrah, he's got a reason to come after California, an apostate nation, apostate state that is encouraging transvestism and homosexuality in the public schools with just about every other bill coming out of the legislature these days. All right, Lance from Bakersfield, thanks again for joining us on Generations. We appreciate your input, and hopefully we'll talk to you again sometime soon.
Kevin, thank you so much, and we're scattering your books all across the state, whoever will read them. So thank you so much, and God bless your work.
We appreciate that. As we wrap up this edition of the Generations Radio broadcast, let me remind you, friends, blessed is that nation whose God is the Lord. That's a subtitle to my book, The Second Mayflower, and we need to press ahead with a vision for obedience to God and discipling the nations at every level. And that's really the challenge I lay down for The Second Mayflower. And I encourage you to grab a copy of my book, The Second Mayflower. It sort of constitutes the vision for this radio program. And if you'd like a copy, just go to our website, kevinswanson.com or generationswithvision.com, and pick yourself up a copy. And while you're at it, grab a copy for your children and grandchildren, because this vision, the vision for the Second Mayflower, isn't accomplished in a single generation. It's a multi-generational vision that God has given us by way of the Great Commission. Again, the book is The Second Mayflower, available at our website, kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.